Well, I hope that you have all had a blessed past week. God is so good, and I'm just grateful to be in His house. I'm grateful to be here with my church family, and so I'm thankful for each day that I get to live, but I'm also thankful for the freedom. But it reminds me of every man and woman that served our country, and they've given of their lives and their time to defend our freedom. I know we celebrate Veterans Day, but I just love celebrating our veterans every day for their sacrifice. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And if you're able to stand, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Today we're looking at overcoming the doubt. Overcoming the doubt. Matthew 14, 22 through 23 reads, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'You are certainly God's Son.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're truly thankful for the reading of your word today. And Lord, let us overcome doubt today by taking faith and living by faith. And Lord, let faith increase within us, that Lord, we will not trust our ways, but Father, we will put our faith in you and trust your ways, because God, with you, all things are possible. And there's nothing impossible for you, dear God. And so, Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And it's in Jesus' holy name we ask. Amen. Now the reason this sermon is being preached, the main focus is the next to the last verse, where Jesus looked at Peter and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, how many of you here ever get filled with doubt? Oh yeah. I see heads bobbing and hands up, yes. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how much into the Word you get. I'm going to tell you that it's human flaw, human error, that in times of weakness, you and I will have times of doubt. That because we're not perfect. But by the end of this message, I hope that every single one of us learns how to turn our fears and all of our troubles, that we'll turn them into faith and put our trust in Christ to start living a more victorious life. Now, when does doubt come? Doubt usually comes during times of hardship. And I want you to think about this one. Doubt also comes in times of prayer. And I say that not because we doubt what we pray, but it's sometimes the situation that you're praying about You can have doubt about the situation. That's what I mean by that. We also have doubt in God's timing. And why do we do that? Well, we often think that life should go according to our timeline. Many times we pray and we say, well, Lord, I've prayed for a miracle and it should have happened by now, because we have set a certain amount of expectations on God according to our plan for our life, instead of stepping out of that circle and saying, well, God, whatever your plan is, then let it be. So God's timing is always everything. But doubt is not the end if it drives us back to Christ. When we are in times of extreme doubt, I mean, that should bring us to a point where we do a quick 180 from the situation we're in, and we turn and point ourselves back to Christ, and we come back into His presence, and we lean on Him. We start to trust more in Him, because if we trust our way, and if we trust the direction that we are going, well, you know what's going to happen? We're going to eventually go off that path and fall deep into the woods and get ourselves lost. And then we're going to start saying, God, how did I get here? Anybody ever experienced that before in their life? Many, many times I have done that. And then I've said, God, why in the world am I going through this? Or God, how did I end up here? But even the strongest of Christians have struggled with doubt. Now, doubt often comes during storms in our life. And I'm not talking about thunderstorms. I'm talking about all the perils of life, the troubles we face. That's when doubt will really come. Because when one trial after another starts to come at you, what mentality do we often take on? We take on a victim mentality. Why me? Well, I preached to you, I think it was either last week or week before, when I was preaching some about faith, that we go through trials in order for our faith to be built, for our faith to increase and to be strengthened. And when we go through trials, we know that that's the time that we should go to God and nowhere else. You're not going to find answers for your life in a book. Now, I'm just using this. If this was a Field and Stream magazine, you can't sit down and read a Field and Stream magazine and get your answers. The only place you can turn to get answers is to open the Word of God and to read it and study it. Now, I don't know if anybody's heard of the Bible Recap or not with Tara Lee Cobble, but last year I did the New Testament, and I reread through the New Testament. And yesterday I started the Old Testament, and I thought, you know, this is really going to be a good thing to get into the Word of the Lord, because here, the Word of the Lord, it's our building block. God's given us a foundation upon which we need to build our house. And if we will build our house upon the Lord, when the storms come and when the winds blow, our house will not be destroyed. But if you build your house on anything other but God, I guarantee you, your house will be washed away. A lot of people are building their houses out on the sand. And what I mean by that, they're trusting in the ways of the world to get them through life. And I'll tell you this, this world has nothing to offer me that's gonna make me eternally happy. The only way that I can find true happiness and joy is to put my faith in Jesus Christ. So anyway, let me get back on track here. So the disciples, Jesus put them in a boat. He sent them away. There's a storm raging on the water. I mean, the waves are crashing high. Now, I tell you what, I've driven across Crab Orchard Lake on a windy day, and I've seen that water white cap. And I've seen some, I'll call them knuckleheads to be nice. I've seen knuckleheads out on that water, and their boats are going like this, and I thought, there ain't no way in the world. Effie, I thought to myself many times, I wouldn't put myself in that kind of danger. I've got more smarts than that, I hope. But anyway, where the disciples were at, the wind was really blowing, and I mean, they're out on the sea, and the waves are even higher. So here they are in a storm, and they're already freaked out, but then Jesus starts coming to them in the night, walking out on the water, and they see Him, and they're all automatically afraid. But when Jesus spoke to them and He said, it's Me, that's who it is, then I guarantee you that their hearts were calmed in the storm. And then Peter said those words. He said, Lord, if it's You, then command Me to come to You on the water. And so Jesus said, come. And now here's the story. We've heard it so many times. Peter gets out of the boat. He walks on the water. And as long as his eyes were on the Lord, he's okay. But what happened? He started taking his eyes elsewhere. He was looking out in the world during the storm, and he lost his faith, and he started to doubt, because he probably started thinking to himself, how is this even possible that I'm walking on the water? Well, if we keep our eyes on the One who does walk on the water, then we too can walk on the water, and we know that we will be safe. But the moment that we are in a storm, we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're going to sink just like Peter did. Now, what caused Peter to take his eyes off the Lord? It was fear. And I want to tell you this, there are a lot of Christian people who choose to live by fear first instead of faith. And that's true. Now, there are a lot of Christian people that I have seen that, man, I'd love to... I'm working at it, but I'd love to have the kind of faith that I've seen a lot of folks have. There's a lot of people that when turbulent times come in their life, it's almost like they're a football player, and they've got the football in their arm, and they got it tucked, and man, they're ready to run for the end zone. And they're kind of like, whatever gets in front of me, I'm going to plow right through it, because I'm going to get a touchdown. I'm going to make it home. That's the faith I've seen in a lot of Christian people. And that's the kind of faith you and I need to have. No matter what comes at us, the devil will send a multitude of things against us in our lifetime. But if we would stand in our freedom with Christ, if we would put our eyes on the Lord and trust Him, then we know that the Lord is going to get us through the storm, and we know that we will never fail. But the moment that we let circumstances weaken our faith and we start to focus on the things around us, then we're going to sink. Get your eyes. I believe this is what the Lord is wanting us to hear this morning more than anything. Get your eyes off of this world. Get rid of your stinking thinking attitude. That we're filled with too many negative thoughts. We're full of discouragement. And a lot of times when people are in times of trials and tribulations, that's when God's expecting us to reach out and pray. And that's when we should be in perfect peace. But yet we get ourselves turned upside down. Now, Friday morning, I'm sitting there having breakfast, and I'm eating this little healthy fruit bar with almonds in it. Well, I took a bite, and an almond shoved right up into a tooth, and I thought, well, and it knocked it loose, and I started bleeding, and I was like, well, great. And I honestly admit I ain't been to the dentist in a little while, but I've noticed that tooth probably need took care of way back when, but I put it off. And now my tooth is not glued. Now I'm going to have to, well, probably either God's going to heal it, and it's going to stay in and tighten back up, or they'll take it out, whatever. But I never liked going to the dentist. And I started getting filled immediately with a little bit of anxiousness about having to go to the dentist. Well, what if he says this? Well, what if he does that? I hadn't even made the phone call yet, and I was already worrying about it. So see, that's what I'm saying. We often start worrying about a situation before it even happens. So now, my attitude has been, Father, I know either you can heal it, and if you heal it, that'll be perfectly fine with me. Lord, if I have to have that tooth taken out and get a bridge put in, that's just fine too. Either way, I'm going to walk in that dentist office like a big fella. And I'm going to sit in that chair, and I'm not going to let my knees get weak underneath me. I don't like needles. And I know what comes with a dentist. So, hey, been there before. If you ever sat in Dr. Gustav's chair and had your wisdom teeth taken out, that'll make you afraid of dentist real quick. So the application of all this here is that trials test your faith. God brings us trials not to be mean to us, but He's testing your faith. He wants to see where you stand. Because the things we pray, guess what happens? If you pray for patience, well, He's not going to just pour it out on you in a bucket and say, well, there you go, child. You know what's going to happen? Situations will arise to test your patience. So if you don't, well, I'm not going to say that. I say pray for faith. I say pray for patience. Pray for perseverance. Because when you start going through things and your eyes are on the Lord, you will start to see God work. And the more that you see God work, the stronger your faith will become. That's why Proverbs 3 and in the first part of verse 5 that the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. What happens when you start leaning on your own ways and your own thoughts? Well, sometimes our thoughts aren't in the best place. And if we start listening to other people and what their advice is, if it's not godly advice, get away from it. That's why we as Christian people ought to put people in our lives that will be a good influence to us. You need good Christian people in your life, people who will help lift you up when you're down, people who will pray for you, people who maybe that God has put a word inside of their heart that they can share with you. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I have ministered to so many people. And there's been times in my life where I've been through some deep suffering and there was nobody there. And I'm sitting there going, God, I'm ready to quit. Where's my people at? Where's the ones to help pick me up? And that's when the Lord said to me, I want your eyes on me and not the people. And so I have to look upward. So the application is, if you feed worry and doubt and fear, then that's what's going to grow in your life. But if you feed yourself the Word of God, if you start to put His principles into action in your life, that's what's going to grow. So, I mean, if you feed the weeds in your garden, guess what's going to happen in your garden? You're going to have a weed-overtaken garden. And you know what's going to happen? All your crops will get choked out and they ain't going to grow. So if you start to feed the fear and the doubts and the worries and all that and the negativity in your own life, if you let these weeds grow, it will choke out your spiritual life and you will not be able to grow in the Lord. It will decrease your faith. It will knock you down. It will leave you feeling helpless. That's why the Lord says He wants us to keep our eyes on Him in every circumstance. In every circumstance. I won't forget, and I'm not ashamed to say this, but many, many years ago, because of some dumb decisions, well, I found myself going through bankruptcy. Because I was young and dumb, and man, I thought my ways were going to make it, and it didn't happen. And here I'm sitting here going, well, how did I get here? I was thinking that, Lord, why are you letting me go through this? And God said, all I want you to do is put your eyes on me, trust in me, and I will give you what you need. And I tell you what, has it been an easy walk and a journey? Absolutely not. Am I rich today? Absolutely not. I mean, I don't need a big house on this earth, and I don't need a humongous bank account, and I don't need country club friends. All I need is I need to keep my eyes on Jesus, because if I'm living a life for Him, I'm already rich. I mean, He's given me a home in heaven. I have riches in heaven that thieves cannot break in and they can't steal it. And moths, they can't destroy it. So, hey, I'm all right. I am rich because of the blessings in my life. Now, doubt can affect even faithful people. Now, John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, this is a time where John was in prison. And he was kind of doubting. He heard the Messiah's coming, but he was actually doubting that, saying, well, is he really the Messiah? So, I mean, John the Baptist, we know what kind of a man John the Baptist was. John the Baptist, man, that guy, he could preach. He preached, but for a time that he's in prison. But then you look at another time when Paul and Silas were in jail. I mean, now here's the situation. They weren't in a Ritz-Carlton hotel. They weren't at the Biltmore in North Carolina. They were in a rat and bug, nasty, infested, dark prison. And they're in the middle of the prison and they start singing out loud. And the Lord responded by sending an earthquake and the jailhouse doors were all open and they were set free. So there's two vast differences right there. But even though he did question if Jesus was truly the Messiah. So that being said, even great believers can experience moments of weakness. And I have to believe that even at times that Billy Graham, Adrian Rogers, Jimmy Swaggart, whoever some of these names are, I guarantee you there's times in their life where they experienced weakness and they even had doubts themselves. The thing that we need to do in these situations, don't keep your struggles from God. Now I say this, He knows your struggles, but He's not going to take them from you. And why is that? Because God is waiting for you and I to give them up. He's God. He's not just going to... He gave us a free will. So that means He's not going to control you like a robot. He's not going to reach down and just take it away and make you feel better. He's waiting for you to come to the place where you say, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore, God. And God's waiting for you to give up. Name it out in prayer. And you know what? There's times that I've heard people say, you know, I've screamed at God. I've been mad at Him and I've yelled at Him because I've just been at the end of my rope. Well, you're not going to surprise God by doing that. And you're not going to make Him turn away from you and pull His love away. You're not going to take God by surprise by being angry or even by doubting. Nothing shakes God. He is God Almighty, but He's wanting you and I to give up everything in our lives. Name it and put it before Him. And you, it's okay to question God. It really is. He's not moved negatively by that. I mean, there's been times that I've known a lot of people to question God. But your faith will grow in testing. Your faith will grow in testing. And I'll tell you what, when your faith starts to grow, the next time a trial comes, then you'll be able to say, I know that my God's got this. But now here's the thing. That doesn't give you a gold key or a gold ticket to step aside and say, okay, God, you have this. Go ahead now. I'll stay over here. No. God wants us to walk with Him in faith, and God wants us to trust Him, because if you're saying, okay, Lord, I know you got this. I'm going to trust you. Don't you think you want to walk with God and see what happens? So here's what I expect. I know that God's going to do good things in my life. Now things may never turn out the way I think they ought to. That's where we have to get away from stinking thinking. Your plan's not the best plan for your life. God's plan's the better. I remember one time I had applied for a church, and it was all the way out in Bluefield, West Virginia. Okay, now when I applied for the church, I read all about it. Boy, it sounds good. Had an old-fashioned church building, which I love old-fashioned church buildings. And the parsonage was right there off to the side. Just a quaint little house, nothing fancy, what I like. And it was up there in the Bluefield Mountains. And I'm telling you what, now that church knew what they was doing trying to attract a pastor. They put some of the most beautiful pictures of the mountains all around there. And I was sucked in, hook, line, and sinker. Well, I sent my resume out to that church, and I just declared and knew I was going, because that was my plan. And I talked to the search committee. I had interviewed over on the phone with them, and they liked me. I sent videos of sermons out there from my church that I was at in Benton. And they said, wow, Brother Jim, wow, we really like the sermons. You're a great fit for this church. And man, this is all good. I was getting ready. Here I come for West Virginia. I could hear those John Denver songs going through my head too while I kept thinking about West Virginia. But then it happened. One day, somebody from the church contacted me and said, now, Brother Jim, along with your duties as pastor, you're also going to be writing a column in the daily newspaper. It's always been a thing for our pastors. And then you're also going to be the custodian of the church. You're also going to have to publish once a week a writing for the church newsletter that everybody in the surrounding community gets. And you're going to, well, there were some other things named off. And I thought, this ain't what I bargained for. And then all of a sudden, those lush, beautiful mountains started to fade away in a puff of smoke. And I started to feel this heaviness on me. And I said, God, what's going on? I want this church. What? And the Lord said, that's not where I want you to be. That's not where I want you. And so, see, we think at the moment that something's so good, but later on, when we really see things in God's timing, how it all turned out, then we can say, thank you, Lord, that I didn't take the wrong step. Okay, I'm gonna move on down through here. Skip a couple points. But doubt is overcome through God's Word. This Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. If you'll read this word and memorize it and get it in your heart, and when things start going wrong in your life, if you'll start quoting these scriptures, and something you can do, if you have those little 3x5 note cards, I want to encourage you to do this. The most places that you go in your house or your home, write down Bible scriptures and put them in those places and change them out every week. And I say that, so if you go to the refrigerator a lot, right when you grab the handle, put a Bible verse right there. In the restroom, if you go look at that beautiful person in the mirror, put one on the mirror. But when you start taking the word of the Lord and applying it to your life, you can start to speak God's word over your situation, and you will find quickly how much the abundance of His peace will come into your heart, and you won't worry about what's going on in your life. I promise you that. Because faith must be fed. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you don't have the Word of God, if you're not feeding on it, you're not going to grow. Now, I know Christian authors put books out. Please don't spend your time in those books. And please don't say, well, so-and-so wrote in their book. I don't care what so-and-so wrote in their book. Because a lot of people say things that are not inspired by God, but people say, oh, well, it was in a Christian bookstore, so that's not where your faith is to be laid. This is the book that will last for generations. This is the book that will stand the test of time. This is the Word of God, and no scientist can disprove it. It is factual, it is true, it is powerful, life-changing. And if we will read it and study it and apply it, we will grow and we will see a build in our confidence. No confidence in yourself, though, but confidence in God. And the more we do that, the more it will change our character and the stronger our faith will be. So, stay in Scripture daily. Remember the past prayers that God has answered in your life. And here we are again, coming back full circle. Surround yourself with believing friends. And I'm talking about believers in Jesus. Not people who believe in the psychic down the road or people who believe in something else. You find good Christian people who speak good things, who live the Word, who take time to spend time with God. I tell you what, you'll feel your life change just like that. I've said it many times and I'll say it again. When I walked into this church the first time, I knew I was in a much different place. When I walked in here, I felt peace. And you know what? I've been here preaching here for about 4 years now. Officially, according to human terms, officially as pastor 8 months now or 9 months, whatever. But for 4 years that I've been here, I still feel that peace. When I go up in my office to pray on Sunday morning, there's peace. There's love. You know why? Because Boskydale Baptist Church was started by people who had faith, who did not doubt, and here we are. It's what? May the 24th of 2026, and we just have had another wonderful service, and the Lord is still moving, and we still have some of the most wonderful people. Yeah, I wish these walls could talk. Oh my goodness. The stories these walls could tell. But I'll tell you what, I've had Effie, I've had Laura, and I've had others who have filled me in with a lot of history of this church, and I've loved hearing every minute of it. But we have to remember above everything else that Jesus is greater than our doubts. So if you put Jesus above your doubts, you won't have any doubts. If you've seen God move, last Saturday, I saw God move in mighty ways because I listen to things. I hear things. Sometimes I shut my mouth to what I hear. Sometimes I put... But last Saturday, at the funeral home and at the cemetery and here, I heard so many good things, more about Joy and her life. And I thought, I guarantee you that her and Gene probably experienced a lot of hard times in their life. But you know what I saw out of them? Faith. I saw faith. I can't remember a time that I ever heard them spoke a negative word and have any doubt. And that's the way you and I ought to be, trusting in the Lord, and we should be filled with faith and not doubt.